those who do not know him as Savior, do not know Jesus as Savior, do not believe that God really exists. God does miraculous things to let them know who he is. Sometimes he does the miraculous to encourage the believer. Hey, I'm still in this with you. Here, let me push you along. Let me guide you along. Let me encourage you. Let me show you my love. And sometimes it's just the privilege of being the follower of Christ that we get to be the beneficiaries of miracles, of healings, of wonderful things. When I lived in Virginia, the Lord was gracious enough to involve me in a couple of miraculous things working through me. My neighbor came to me one day looking to borrow some sort of lawn equipment. I think it was hedge trimmers. Now this man's 60 years old. He's lived in that house for 20 or 30 years. He has a whole bunch of stuff. He should have hedge trimmers, but he didn't, and I did. And the Lord used that as an opportunity. All right, here, Dean, how can I pray for you? And he just kind of broke down. I believe this time was, I'm looking at prison time. I was in jail for a little bit, and now I was stupid and said something I shouldn't have, and which violated to my ex-wife, and now I'm looking at some prison time for threatening her. I've been served with this piece of paper to go back to court, and it's kind of an open and shut case. Ooh, that's a pretty big experience. I shouldn't have said, you know, I could just kill you right now. That was dumb on my part. I would advise you all not to say that to anybody, even if we know that it's not wise. So I prayed for him. And then a couple months later, he went to when his court summons was, showed up at the court office to the courtroom, and couldn't find his name on the board. So he went and talked to somebody in the desk. And they said, all right, you know, give him his name. I don't see you anywhere in our system here. This piece of paper here. No, you have nothing. The judge isn't going to see. There's nothing going on right now. So he walked out as a free man, expecting to go, I don't know, probably serve 2 or 3 years in prison. But the Lord answered the prayer, and it just, his name was removed from that system. You know, a police officer isn't just going to take that out. He was served with a piece of paper to show up at such and such a day, such and such a time. The Lord works miracles. Later, as I continued my relationship with him, he said, Brian, I have pancreatic cancer, which, as we know, that's terminal. There isn't, how do you come back from that? So, all right, well, let me go ahead and pray for you. They went back to the doctor. They did another sonogram, and the cancer was gone. Cancer was just gone. I'll be honest, I didn't have an incredible amount of faith in either of those, but, you know, all right, well, Lord, you can do whatever, so let me go and pray. And fortunately, I guess I had that mustard seed, that little very tiny bit. Wasn't any bigger than mustard seed, but the Lord was showing his miraculous, his powerful ways and encouraging Dean. And from that, it was neat. I started a little discipleship relationship with him, and after a couple of sessions, he was then talking to our atheist neighbor, kid a little bit younger than I was, caught up in, you know, struggles, addiction, and these sorts of things. And I get a phone call one day from Dean. I was at church. Hey, Brian, guess what? I'm a disciple. All right, never, I usually go, hey, I, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, I accepted Jesus, and you get that excited. All right, Dean, elaborate on that. What are you talking about? Well, you know, what's-his-face came over, and I just shared with him exactly everything you said to me last night, and I'm just sharing this good news. This is exciting. Oh, this is great. And, you know, he's got the joy of the Lord. He's doing things, and it's just amazing. I'm not sure if the neighbor came to Christ that night. But the Lord wanted to use him, showing his power, doing miracles, and having an impact on the community. God is still a miracle God. God is still a healing God. God is still alive and active. Oftentimes we miss that. We forget that. We see what's going on around us, and oh boy, look at the politics. Oh boy, I look at my family situation. Oh boy, look at all this. Lord, where are you? Well, he's still here. He's still alive and active. He took the Israel out of Egypt, helped them cross the Red Sea. He's still doing wonderful things. He's still the miracle God. Let me pray for our time. Lord, may you draw our hearts closer to you. May you reveal to us your awesome power. May you encourage us this morning. May you draw us all closer to you. I pray for your blessing upon this time as we open up your word to hear from you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week, we looked at God purging some unhealthiness from the church, from our church. We know a couple weeks ago, Luke described the church as they had all things in common. They were of one heart. People were selling and giving all the proceeds to the church. And then a little while later, Ananias and Sapphira come up, and Peter says, "Well, didn't you promised to God that you were going to give all this? Why are you holding back? How has Satan entered into your heart to trick you, to fool you?" And Ananias drops dead. Sapphira drops dead. I'm sorry, I was supposed to get rid of kids a while ago, wasn't I? I get so caught up in what I'm supposed to do here, which is, so all the children may be dismissed to children's church. But you guys got to hear a cool story, hopefully. Perhaps encouraging. Your teacher will be back there in just a minute. I did that while they're both outside. Doesn't really help out very much. Lee, if you wouldn't mind just telling them I got rid of the kids. Release the hounds. Anyway, so last week, Ananias and Sapphira, they've lied to God. They've said, "Yeah, we're going to sell our land. We're going to give the proceeds to God." But then the fear, the doubt, the whatever crept in. Scripture doesn't say, but they chose to hold some back, and they both were struck dead. And this sent fear throughout the church. This sent a message of fear throughout the whole community. Whoa, look what God's doing. God takes these things seriously. Man, perhaps there is God going on in these things. And now this week we're going to see God working more than he has. We're going to see he is bringing folks to Christ like never before. Start here, verse 12. We're in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. You can open up your scriptures. I have the ESV translation up there if you prefer a different translation. Go ahead and open up in your lap. If you would go ahead and follow along with me. It said, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico." This is where the lame man was healed, as we read a couple weeks ago. They were all together together there, and none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. So God is continuing to work through the apostles. God is continuing to do things. And just a reminder, the word apostle means one who is sent by God. And the understanding is sent by God with authority. So he's not just he's sent with God, "Here, this is what I want you to do." A messenger. And so they're doing this many signs and wonders. It's neat that this is happening, it's getting regularly. Remember the promise, Acts 1:8, "And you will be my witnesses," is what Jesus said. You're going to be my witnesses to the people. The way you carry yourselves, what you tell them about me, what you do is going to bear witness to who God is. It's pointing to the divine truth. God is doing wonderful things primarily to glorify himself. He's looking to communicate to Jerusalem that he is God. He's looking to bring repentance to their hearts. And this repentance just changed your mind who God is. Oh, Jesus probably was God. He was probably telling the truth. This Jesus who we crucified. It says signs were being done by the hands of the apostles, showing that, hey, we're in this new age. We're in this new dispensation. Jesus' life and ministry kicked off this new era. It had erased that silence before, and this is showing that Jesus really was who he said he was. And now the Holy Spirit is acting through his people. We had nothing going on for about 400 years, some silence. Then God sends one man, God sends Jesus, and there for 35 years, but only about 3 years of doing these amazing ministries. There were certainly some inklings, some perhaps signs going on before. We see 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. Man, how do you understand all of this? What's going on here? So there are probably a few, well, that's interesting going on. And now the ministry spreads to these 12 apostles for 2 months, perhaps 3 or 4 months. I don't know, but God is continuing. He's expanding because they're all dwelt with the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was, just as you and I are today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. We have that same availability to his power. God is showing that he is present. He is active. He's trying to communicate to these people. You may have ignored or rejected Jesus, but try ignoring and rejecting this. Look what he's doing. Look what I am doing. And obviously, some people will ignore and reject this. We see mainly the leaders are going to ignore and reject this. But many are going to have their spiritual eyes and hearts awakened. When God rattles the laws of physics, when God does the impossible, that brings people's ears to attention. What's going on here? So they are in the portico, where this just seems to be the natural meeting place where Peter's preaching. All the people are passing through here, and so he's healing. He's trying to draw the Jews to himself, reveal who he really is. God's not done reaching his chosen people here. People were, as the verse says, they were all together. This is talking about the believers. They were all together in Solomon's Portico. There was unity still in this group. Remember, they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread together. They're united with everything. We're starting to see kind of an all-or-nothing community, an all-or-nothing mentality form here, because it said none of the rest dared to join them. So we have the followers of Christ over here, and then there's the Jews, but I'm not quite ready to do all that. They see that there's this big thing, there's this community, these people are all in with each other. Hey, if I have land, I'm selling it so that way everybody can benefit. We're taking care of one another. We're fully investing ourselves into what the apostles are saying. And the group over here is, man, I'm not sure if I can do that yet. That's going to be a huge cost. It means I'm going to say no to what the religious leaders are saying and join this radical group over here. Am I ready to do that? The Lord's working on hearts. And we see things spreading throughout the community here. These people were all in. Jesus was Lord of their lives, which isn't necessary for salvation, but it's surely the Lord's desire is that He is Lord. He is King. Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to do, which is why we strive as a church to make Jesus as the head of this church. All right, Lord, whatever you want to do, this is your church. And this is what, as I said, Jesus wants from us. Let's look in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is addressing the seven different churches there. And when he gets to the church in Laodicea, he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. You're neither cold, you're thinking about the Jews, well, this isn't anything about God, or man, these guys are hot, the early church is hot, they're all in for the Lord. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's pretty straightforward talk. Because unfortunately, we become lukewarm, we deceive ourselves. Man, I'm doing okay. Things are fine. It's kind of been this slow, gradual, it used to be hot and then kind of slowly fading. Well, everybody around me is kind of in the same boat here. But I'm no longer on fire. God's not using. There's nothing different from the world around me. If I'm hot, God can use me for his glory. If my heart is cold, well, he can convict and say, hey, look at this huge delta, this huge difference from where you are and where I want to be. But lukewarm, well, you think you're hot, but you just cooled off. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're not quite there. So Jesus, he wants from all of us to have this all-in mentality. And as I said, verse 13, those who weren't believers, they didn't dare join in. They were fearful. Of course, there's religious leaders who were against the Christians here. They've arrested Peter and John, but they held them in high esteem. They thought very well, man, look at this community that's taking care of one another. Look at what God is doing. He's healing miraculous things, the lame man, everything else going on. There's something to these people. I can't point anything wrong with them. I'm not ready to join in. man, these guys are doing it right. Whatever they're doing, this is working. This is, I believe it's attractional. We see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in these early believers' lives. Because once again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Others weren't willing to join in, but there was this attractional thing going on. Held them with high esteem. And God was doing wonderful things. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, verse 14. Multitudes of both men and women. God is at work here. Many were willing to make that leap. And so it says, more than ever, more than Pentecost when 2,000 people came to Christ, 3,000, I'm sorry, came to Christ with the tongues, and then another 2,000 with the lame man, church of 5,000. Now it says, then more than ever, the Lord is doing these wonderful, wonderful things. People are coming to accept him as Savior because of these signs and wonders that were going on. He's using signs and wonders to soften people's hearts, to open doors. With Dean, it was only the Lord that kept him out of prison. With Dean, it was only the Lord that kept him from dying of pancreatic cancer. And I'm sure if we look at all of our lives, man, what's the Lord done? What has God done? Or perhaps if it's not me, it's something that somebody I know close to me, they've experienced or they've seen. Somebody who was lame at camp, able to walk. Somebody who is lame on an Indian reservation, able to walk. That's how I came to Christ, is whoa. God heals. That completely rattles my worldview of God, that he doesn't exist. Because science doesn't just, you lay your hands and you mumble some words and somebody doesn't magically get better, unless God's into that. God's doing wonderful things. God is showing that he's there. As we'll talk about as we, at the end, he still cares about his people. God was using the church as an attractor. His attractional model. Yes, you'll be leaving everything, but you're going to be gaining this wonderful community here, this community that loves and takes care of one another. Also, this community that Peter stepped into, no, this is wrong. And Ananias and Sapphira, the Lord killed them. God must be doing something wonderful here. Multitudes. God's working powerfully and quickly. And then verse 15, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them in cots and mats as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. So there's signs and wonders going out, and so now people are just bringing, this seems reminiscent of what Jesus was doing, that the people's reaction to Jesus when he was on earth. Mark chapter 6, talking about Jesus, and ran out about the whole region and began to bring sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they lay the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. As many touched it were made well. God is continuing to act through his people. And it's the same Holy Spirit empowering Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit in the church. Same thing as the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. If I just touched his garment, Jesus knew, wait, something happened. If I can even just, man, something special is going on here. God was using the apostles. They were obedient to what he was saying, and people were coming to them. What an incredible impact. So just speaking of this shadow, in the ancient world, a person's shadow was subject of much superstition. It was believed to represent his or her power and personality, to literally be an extension of that person. So if the shadow walks by, this mythology is going on, well, Peter is touching me, even if he's not touching me. Amazing things were going on. Perhaps people were healed this way. I don't know, Scripture doesn't say one way or another, but multitudes were coming to Christ. Points to the amazing work that God was doing and the impact it had on the community. This early church of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 perhaps by now. Living out their faith in the walls and outside of the walls. In verse 16, the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Oops. Anyways. So if you see that little red dot, this red dot here represents Jerusalem. So it's just, it's spreading outside the impact of what's going on here. People outside the towns, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses where? Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So people were coming from these outside towns in. So God was having this impact. The apostles weren't intentionally, well, how can we strategically reach these cities around here? Not that that's a bad thing, but they're hearing, whoa, look what God's doing. Remember, 400 years, God's been silent. Jesus doing a wonderful ministry for 3 years. He's healing. He's bringing the truth of God. And now this truth continues with these apostles, spreading outside the city of Jerusalem. Remember, there's high esteem of these early believers. The wonders and miracles are spreading outside the city limits, attracting these Jews to come and see and experience the manifestation of the Lord's power. They brought the sick. They brought the demonized, the unclean spirits. They were all healed. God is doing some amazing, amazing things to show that he is God. And that's where we're going to close out our message today. Just God is powerfully present and active. He's doing wonderful things, and he's doing wonderful things today. He wants to do amazing and wonderful things. God is present and active. He's trying to communicate. You may have ignored and rejected Jesus, but try ignoring and rejecting this. So again, obviously some people will, but many will have their spiritual eyes and hearts awakened. So when we think about this, how much love and grace and mercy does this show on God's part? He's reaching out to these Jews, these people who have, once again, they've rejected Jesus. They've rejected him, and he says, I'm going to show miracles to you. I'm not just going to have Peter give wonderful sermons, but I'm going to deeply impact your life. I'm going to heal the lame man. I'm going to do the demons, everything else that's going on with you. There's many strikes against them. Not only have you sinned against me, but you've rejected my actions. My revelation, God says, of myself through my son, Jesus Christ. This could be something that he would hold against them. But he still does these miracles. He's still reaching these people. He still loves them. You killed Jesus. You crucified him. But I'm still coming after you. I still love you. I'm still desire this relationship. But God goes first after these people. He goes first after those who have hurt him the most. He doesn't, let me go to the Gentiles. At least they were kind of ignorant in all this. Jesus didn't extend very much. Let me go to them and then I'll work my way back. But these are his people, and he goes after them first. And often you and I, we work up to acting like that. We work, well, I'll get around to, once I build up the courage, the whatever, then I'll do the right thing. But God is perfect in his love, grace, mercy. He actively and lovingly pursues his people. So prayerfully, he's working on your heart this morning. Perhaps as Savior, he's powerfully and present. He's active. He's pursuing you as Savior. Do you know him as Savior? Jesus, that he came, he died on the cross for you. Sin. He's doing all these wonderful things. There's miracles going around, things that you can't explain. If you'd like to explain how my friend did not have to go to prison, or his pancreas was healed, or perhaps it was just a doctor's error, we can talk. But man, God's doing amazing things. I believe he's actively and lovingly pursuing you right now. Do you know him, that he died for your sins? Perhaps he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you for personal holiness. Is he pursuing you to live a deeper life with him, to pursue his holiness? Perhaps, man, you know what? I probably border on lukewarmness, or perhaps this area of my life, it's kind of approaching lukewarm. That's not a good thing. The Lord wants me to be holy as he is holy, and it's not by my power. It's, Lord, you know what? I've messed up. I'm not good at this. I need your power. I need your help to live the life that you want me to. I know my motives can be off. I know that what I do can be wrong. Lord, help me to be more like you. Or perhaps he's pursuing you as an evangelist, to seek and save that which is lost. All these miracles that God was doing wouldn't bring salvation unless the apostles were willing to step out and speak the truth in love. They're willing to sit there in Solomon's portico, and here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what Jesus is doing. The wonderful testimony of this church they held in high esteem. There's lots of groups we can hold in high esteem, but will they bring about salvation without the truth of Jesus' message? A church that loves one another can be as ineffective for the gospel as the Lions Club. They can do good things for the community. They can be a club that meets together and does wonderful things, but if we're not willing to step out as God opens those doors, are we effective? Are we doing what God is calling us to do? Paul tells Timothy to do the work of the evangelist. He says, I know that's not exactly how God has equipped you. However, you got to do your share. You're leading these people is what you got to do. So is God pursuing you to step out of your comfort zone? Be his ambassador to this lost and dying world so you can save that which is lost. I guess he might be perhaps at least touching on one of these in each of our hearts. I know I certainly fall short in the holiness realm, fall short in the evangelist realm. It's easier not to have those conversations with people. Continue to draw them in with a good relationship. At some point we need to get aggressive. At some point we need to share the gospel. And so with that, I'm going to close out our message. We're going to have a couple of songs, and then we are going to have a time to just share. What has God been doing in your life these past few months? I don't know, a few weeks, few years that you'd like to share and just encourage one another with. But while we have that music, I'll be just standing down here. If perhaps God's pricked on your heart one of these things, yeah, I don't think I've accepted Jesus as Savior. I want to do that today, or I want to live a deeper life. Pastor, can you please pray for me? Or, you know, I do want to seek and save that which is lost. Pastor, can you pray for me? Or if you want to pray, these rails are here for you to do business with God. So, like I said, I'll be down here if you want somebody to pray for you.